or
just they were at our church one Sunday, and y'all impressed me, guys, big time. I'm mad at you. Y'all used to be one of my favorite groups. Every time I've ever seen you guys, you've had on shirts and ties. So I said, well, tonight, their challenge is coming. They're going to have on their shirts and ties. So I, you know, put my shirt and tie on. And they show up, you know, so I don't like them anymore. I'm just kidding, you guys. You're great. Tim and Dustin, the music was great also. Thank y'all. Give them a big hand. If you have your Bible, my message tonight, I'm going to preach out of Matthew 25. I'm going to speak out of Matthew 25. We preach on Sunday mornings. This is Saturday night. I just get to speak, which is much better for me because I like speaking better. It's easier. I live over in Mainland Currituck, in case anybody don't know it, and I always see every Saturday, I see all the cars flocking down here, and we've seen backups as far back as Gravedigger, if you know where that's at, and I've always wondered why everybody was flocking, and so I come in here tonight and I found out why.
Amen.
So, I was telling Joe on the phone, I said, you know, I don't like to do I don't like to waste my time too much. So I figured on the way over, I knew I was going to be stopped in traffic, so I wrote my message this afternoon on top of the Wright Brothers Bridge. I was there long enough, I actually got tomorrow's message done and two Bible studies. A friend of mine back over at Mid-Atlantic, and I hope Joe will get him in here. I'm going to use something he told me, and he told me, he said, if you use it, you've got to cite me. So his name is Brian Barr.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. Brian preaches, I don't know what church, what's the name of the church he preaches at? Nobody knows, but he preaches in a church, and he's good at it. But he was telling me the other day, he said, Bobby, I need to talk to you because I've gone into a new business. He said, I've gone into the business of raising rabbits. He said, don't you want to buy some rabbits? And I'm thinking, why do I want a rabbit for? I mean, I'm thinking, what practical use? Why do I need rabbits? He said, well, they're good food. Well, I couldn't kill them. If I've got to go out and kill some of these folks, we ain't going to eat. And you can look at me and tell I'm going to eat no matter where I'm at. There you go. See? I'm not the only person who likes potlucks and fellowships. I'm going to tell you that right now. And if you ever want good, if you want good cooking, don't go to the Golden Corral. Don't go to Captain George's. You go find you a church that's having a fellowship meal, you're going to get good cooking.
Amen.
It'll make you fat. Like, you don't see skinny preachers. Not that they're any good. But Brian told me, he said, you need to buy some of these rabbits from me. And I'm like, Brian, I don't need rabbits. He said, but these are special rabbits. I'm thinking, okay, what's special about a rabbit? And I was gullible enough to ask. He said, well, these have only been fed organic food. The best food they could get, no preservative, whatever they feed rabbits. Into carrots, I guess. He said, and they have never been outside. He said, they were raised totally in the house. He said, these are ingrown hairs. And that's what I want to ask you folks tonight. Are you folks Christians? Or are you ingrown hairs? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 25, 35 through, I think I wrote 45 down, but it's going to probably be through 40, I believe. Anyway, if you got it, if you got a pew Bible in front of you, you'll be reading from the King James. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which is the only version I've been able to find that can bridge the gap between the Baptists and those who ain't Baptists. Because I know we like that King James. It's been around for 400 years. But if you're with me at Matthew 25 and 35, Matthew writes that Jesus said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? And Jesus tells them, after they go through all the list, Jesus tells them, he says, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. So I want to ask you right now, how many people saw somebody hungry this week and fed them? I saw a show of hands there. It was good. I wasn't even asking for a show of hands. I was just asking you to search your heart. How many of you saw somebody in prison this week and visited them? You knew somebody was in prison and visited them. How many of you saw somebody who was hungry, who was thirsty, and you gave them something to drink? We know right now, because you know, y'all think, well, he's going into works right now. You know, he's going to save us by works. No. If I was going to save you by works, I'd ask you all to break out a rosary and we'd do some Hail Marys. I'm not talking about work salvation. Because in Ephesians 2 and 8 it says, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that is not our own, it's a gift to us. You cannot do a good work that will save you. Not here, not now, not any time. I'm trying to lay this down because I may ask you to do a work, but I want you to know it ain't going to save you. You can help all the old ladies across the road you want, and it will not get you in heaven. Isaiah said, our good works are like filthy rags to him. So I guess our bad works and our good works aren't much different. I'm not advocating that if you see an old lady crossing the road, that you go push her in front of the car. I'm just saying, if you help her across, it's not going to save you. Help her across anyways. But think about that. But turn with me in Ephesians 2:10, because we... Ephesians 2:10, yeah. Because we like 2, 8, and 9 so good, and we hold on to it. No matter what denomination we are, or are not, or whatever we profess to be, we hold on to Ephesians 2:8 because we are saved by faith through grace. But we always fail to go to verse 10. Because it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not created in Christ Jesus, and we're not saved by good works, but because we're saved, we're going to do good works. I want you to reflect back now on the question I asked you earlier. How many of you saw somebody hungry this week and you fed them? First off, let's just say this. Let's put it this way. Forget whether you fed them or not. How many people saw somebody hungry? Other than me. Other than seeing me, because I'm always hungry. It's a 24-hour thing. How many of you saw somebody thirsty? I'm not seeing many hands come up here. How many of you saw somebody... I wasn't doing this to get a drink of water. You could have brought some cookies with it. How many of you saw somebody in prison? How many of you knew somebody that was in prison this week? A few more hands coming up there. The sad thing is, there's not enough hands come up anywhere. Because every one of us saw somebody hungry this week. Because everybody on the outside of this building that don't know Jesus Christ is hungry for the truth, whether they know it or not. Amen. Every one of us saw somebody thirsty this week. Because everybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ is thirsting for the truth. They're trying to hold on to a world system that doesn't offer them anything. And everyone is imprisoned by sin that's holding them back. That's the only lifestyle they know. Folks, there's people out there who are hurting all around us. That's why I love their challenge so much, because somebody took a step outside of a church building. They quit being ingrown hairs and stepped outside of a church building and did something. They changed some lives. And because those lives that they changed, these guys here are changing other people's lives. Amen. And it keeps the circle going. Because these guys here are going to tell somebody, say, wait a minute, let me tell you about this guy Jesus. Amen. They're not going to say, let me tell you about this tradition. We meet at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. They're going to say, let me tell you about this. We know this guy named Jesus. We know this guy named Jesus who hung on a cross. He died because I'm trash. And he come back to life so I could live. So that I could have eternal life, that I don't have to die. He was hung on a cross. I was looking at this cross. I think it's beautiful. I told Joe that when I come in today. And I love the nails still in the cross. Because I think that's very symbolic, because the nails are in the cross, but there's no body on it. Because Jesus Christ, while He was on the cross, the nails never held Him there. We're talking about God incarnate. He was held on that cross because of love. The love for each and every one of us. But if we think about the verse we all love so good, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that those who would not perish would have who would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." Whosoever, we'll go old time, we'll go old school, whosoever believeth in Him. There are people outside of this church who would like to believeth in Him. If they only had us to step outside of the church and tell them about Him. Maybe they've had a bad experience with the church. Maybe they don't know what we're doing here. Maybe they saw Joe back his pickup truck up and they said, well, maybe he's the one who, you know, unloads the rattlesnakes that they pass around. They don't know what we do in here. We have to tell them. But it's not about in here. It's about in here. It's about changing hearts. It's about making disciples for Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do. In Matthew, He says, go to the world and make disciples, preaching and teaching. And that's what we're called to do. But we can't do it sitting in here. I don't care who the best preacher in the world you think is the best preacher. I'm trying to think of something. I don't know one right off the... Billy Graham cannot sit in his home. Well, he's probably too old. I don't think he does anything now, but he can't sit in his home and they come. Billy went out to the people. He took his evangelism out to where people could come to him. He was visible with it. He probably is... I'm going to go on a limb with this, and don't quote me on the statistic, but I would guarantee that Billy Graham, by going out and telling about Jesus Christ, has probably been used by God more instrumental than anybody in our last century. I'll guarantee you the message that Billy Graham preached brought more people to Christ. God used that probably than anybody else's message. But guess what? Billy didn't stand in the church behind the pulpit preaching it. He was out where people could come to him, where people could see him. He was visible. People could see his messages. He got it out there. People all around us are hurting today. And I know you're thinking right now, well, yeah, the preacher might have a point there. But just think, if we did that, we'd have this church full of sinners. And we don't want to sit by a bunch of sinners on Sunday morning. Now, y'all know how that is. You don't know what they did on Saturday night. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm old school. I like to skip around and make you turn to the Bible so that way you know where the books are. Chapter 6, verse 9. Paul's writing here to the church in Corinth, and if you think anybody has some troubles, the church in Corinth did. He says, I'm reading in one English and I'm trying to talk into King James English. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Think about that, man. This is what, if we go outside the church building, we could have sitting inside the church building. Now, we got to think about this now. Stay with me. Think about it. Is this what you want sitting next to you Saturday night, Sunday morning? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, the adulterers, the idolaters, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, the drunks. We are in North Carolina. The swindlers. None of these people are going to inherit the kingdom of God. So, does that mean we limit who we go to? What? Say it louder, I didn't hear you. There you go. Because if we keep reading on down, it says, he keeps on talking about this, and he says, and such of these were some of you. Such of these were some of us. Every one of us has a story to tell. We might not be wanting to get up in front of people and tell that story, but every one of us has been delivered from something. And there's somebody outside of a church building who has the same problem that we were delivered from. It would do me no good to go to a group of drug addicts and try to preach a message and say, well, I know what you're going through. Because I don't. I've never been there. I can take them the good news. I can tell them about Jesus. But think about how powerful a witness that is if somebody who has been there and goes out, and every one of us has a story that we can take out of a church building to somebody else. Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8. I sure hope that bell didn't just come over the speaker. If it did, it was free of charge. It wasn't planned. I will tell you, it wasn't the Spirit moving. It was Pepsi I drank on the way over here. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, when you receive the Spirit, you receive power, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. Think about that. We don't have a problem. I can bring a missionary in here tomorrow morning, and I guarantee you I could get him to stand up and talk, and he'd say all the things about what he's doing. And I guarantee you we could do a love offering, and that man would take some money out of here. Well, because that money's going to the uttermost parts of the earth. I guarantee you I know an organization called IDES, International Disaster Emergency Services. And I could get somebody from IDES to come in and talk and say, this is what we're doing. This is what happened in Joplin, Missouri when the tornadoes come through, and we're there on the ground, and we're rebuilding schools, and we're rebuilding churches. And I guarantee we could do a love offering, and they'd make good money. Well, of course, you know, that's Judea and Samaria. But right here where we're standing, we're in our own Jerusalem. And there's people all around us that are hurting. And we can't motivate ourselves to get up and go help them. To share the good word. It's good. We'll throw $25 that way, but I don't want to go talk to nobody. I could catch something. I don't know if y'all have participated in the room at the end program here. It brings homeless people in to the church. If anybody's not familiar with it, the churches give them a meal. Probably three meals, I think. Two or three meals. Give them a place to stay. Maybe you don't go up to them and go right out after them, evangelize them, but you're bringing them in. You're a part. You're rubbing shoulders with these people whose houses are in a woods, if they can find a wooded spot where they don't get arrested to sleep at. They're coming into a church. They're seeing how lives have been changed in a church. They're seeing what goes on. I'm telling you, I believe it was St. Augustine that said, Augustine of France is one of them. I'm not Catholic. I get the saints confused. I know St. Arbuckle. That's Starbucks, guys. Okay. One of them said, always preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. What that means is our lives, when we walk outside of this church building, our lives are a gospel. We know four gospels. We know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the fifth gospel, most of the time, the one that we write, the one that we live, is the one that touches the most lives. Because people are going to see you, they're going to see you, before they ever open up a book and read anything that John wrote. How we live impacts lives. It impacts lives all around us. And we should be constantly aware of that. And no matter where we are, just by what we do, we might not even be talking to somebody and we're witnessing to them. We're witnessing Jesus Christ in our own Jerusalem. And that message is going to go out. Somebody once said that the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. And I think every church is time for us all. No matter where we are, whether we're Methodist, whether we're Baptist, whether we're Lutheran, Church of Christ, you get them to buddy, you're doing something. I don't mean I just Church of Christ, you know, I'm affiliated with them. I will tell you Alexander Campbell, who was their founder, was a Baptist. I don't care what anybody says. All these churches, God never said, I sent my son to die for the Baptist. He never says, I sent my son to die for the Methodist. He never says, I sent my son to die for the Church of Christ. I didn't send my son to die for the Presbyterians. He said, I sent my son to die for whoever will believe in him.
Amen.
God is above all denominations.
Amen.
He's above each and every one of us, no matter where we're at. As I close, and I come into closing, I want to ask you again the question that I started with. Are you an ingrown hair? Are you stuck inside of a building? You show up on Sunday because, well, of course you have to, because that's the prescribed meeting time, is Sunday morning. Show up on Wednesday night because, well, I want to make sure I get my name on the book. But you don't do anything outside of the building. I want to ask you, get out of the building. Get out of the box. God's too big for one building. And He's in us. We can't hold Him in the building much longer. Do something in your communities. If you see somebody thirsty, and I guarantee if you see somebody, they're thirsty for some good news.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed to share it.
That's right.
The guys are coming up. So I want to tell you, this is the time when as a preacher, where the rubber meets the road. Because I don't know who everybody here tonight. I've seen most of their challenge. I know Pat and Phil. I know Joe. Don't give me salvation.
I don't want you to tell.
But there's a God out there who's waiting for us. There's a God out there who's calling us. There's an old song I used to do years ago called Calling My Children Home. And that's what He's doing. He's there for each and every one of us. And if there's anybody in here who needs to make those decisions, as the guy starts saying, do we have these words out here? Are we singing? Or just start? We do have these words. If there's anybody who needs to make those decisions, come up and talk with us. If there's any one person in here who has never been baptized and wants to do that tonight, I make this, anytime I speak, I make this challenge to anybody who... I do not have a dry set of clothes with me. This is it. I do not mind riding home wet. I did it in February. And I will tell you, the sun was cold then. If I could get in February, I can get in now. If there's anybody who needs to make those decisions, if there's anybody who just needs prayer, I notice the altar's empty right now. God wants you at His altar. He wants us praying for our friends in need.